The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
And a reminder, a chance to win a trip to Vegas to see the Canadiens. Coming up after Pierre, how you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good.
Well, Pierre, I just kind of teed off in the last hour as someone who grew up when we were fortunate enough to grow up. And this has been creeping in. It seems to be a constant. This was supposed to change with the infusion of quote-unquote character. Some people think we make a too big a deal out of this. I think that's a bad sign, what we saw there.
Well, it wasn't good. The one thing I would say is, I made sure that I watched that again. I watched all the games last night, or almost all the games last night, from beginning to end. But the one thing that I wanted to check before I came on with you is, did people really expect Thomas Plekanec to go after Colton Parayko? Because he's a guy that dumped the puck in.
Yes. Not to fight him. Not to fight him, but to something, Pierre. To do something.
But I don't know what you wanted him to do. Because
I want him to look at Parayko, throw a punch, trip him from behind, slew foot him, slash him behind the leg. Do something. He's got a letter on his jersey.
That part I'll see to. But in terms of the fighting stuff, I don't know how he's going to fight Colton Parayko. He's going to get smushed. It's not even going to be a fair fight. But I hated that hit. And you know what's interesting? If you watch the tape of that hit, it reminds me so much of what Taylor Hall did to Kyle Oposo last night, and just a different way. You know, the one hits a cross check, Oposo gets hit from behind by Hall with a hit, but it's similar type stuff. One's a cross check, one's a hit. Taylor Hall got a $5,000 fine. Have you heard anything from Parayko yet?
Not yet, no.
No, I haven't. So the games were only an hour apart when they started.
Now, was there an added penalty to Taylor Hall? Because it was a five-minute boarding major. There was no game misconduct.
Yeah, no. Taylor Hall came back and played.
Okay.
So, he scored a goal. So, I don't know.
Actually, it was the game-winning goal, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what happened there. But I would say this. I thought the Canadiens in the first period were fortunate that St. Louis was trying to be too cute, and the Canadiens had opportunities to bury them, and they didn't. And then the last 40 minutes, that wasn't pretty. You can say all the moral stuff you want. We were this, we were that. They were nowhere. They never created second-chance opportunities. They didn't come clean out of their own zone. They couldn't contain the cycle. There's one cycle shift in the second period. Braden Schenn's on the ice with Jaden Schwartz. That was like Harlem Globetrotter stuff. It was crazy. So that team was nowhere last night, except in the first period where they were somewhere. After that, they were nowhere.
Well, second period again, we had to kill some penalties, but we didn't generate much offensively, and it's the same old story. You know, we got to find ways to get on the inside, and you know, we're shooting from the outside, but we have nothing happening on the inside, and then we need to be much better in that area if we plan on winning hockey games and scoring some goals.
Well, that's how they scored their one goal, and I know it was a power play, but there were a bunch of bodies in front of Hutton, and they don't like. I watched who was it who sniped Marchessault? What a shot! You see the shot that he scored on?
Yeah.
See, the Canadiens don't have that kind of weapon, so maybe they think they do, so they take these shots. It's one thing to take these shots from low percentage areas and think you're going to be quality NHL goaltenders. It's another thing when you're doing it and nobody goes to the net to take the goalie's eyes away. It's just, it's a recipe for disaster, and that's what we see.
So I don't want to get really negative here, but I just have to bring up the reality. The St. Louis Blues, a team you saw last night, one of the real important plays in that game was Tage Thompson, who's a first-round pick, and he basically walked three Montreal Canadiens players. One of them was Jacob Delarose, one of them was Petrie, and he basically walked the three of them. And eventually leads to the Berglund goal. So just listen to these names. And this is, again, just knowing their protected list. They have a Robert Thomas coming. They have Jordan Kyrou coming. They have Sammy Blais coming. And they have tons more. But those are just names for Canadian hockey fans that are Canadian-born players. This is crazy. The Canes don't have any players like that coming, to build off your point. Not even close.
It's funny, Pierre, because I want to ask you about another player that was in the lineup last night. He was one of the best players on the ice, I thought, for St. Louis. And I also find it interesting how it
Barbashev. Yeah, played in Moncton. He was a great player in Moncton. He was a great player in Moncton.
And it seems like they've really brought him along slowly, but he looks like he's about to emerge.
One of the things that really happened was it helped them a ton when Craig Berube got fired in Philadelphia. They hired him to coach their farm team in Chicago, the Chicago Wolves. And Berube did masterful work with a bunch of guys, and one of them is Barbashev. And
face-off wins Sobotka. Back to Bouwmeester. He'll come down to the goal line. Centering pass. Barbashev! He reflected it to the net. He's on it again, and Price is on his knees. And boy, Sergio, you said it. Barbashev is flying. He's also going to the right places tonight, too.
The game's second star, scoring one goal and playing it a forward for the Blues. Number 49, Ivan Barbashev!
All right, Pierre, go ahead.
And you know, no, but you know why he got the chance to play? Is because another one of their great young players, Robbie Fabry's out for the year with a knee injury. He needed major surgery. So you put it all together and you look at the guys they have coming. It just, and I know they're not in the same division, I know they're not in the same conference, but it's a measuring stick for your team. And if you think they've got guys coming, I talked to the guys in Minnesota today. They've got a ton of guys coming. And if you talk to the guys in Philly and you talk to the guys, I mean, this is the problem. This is my concern going forward. Go play in the free agent market if you want. You don't have any players coming. This is the problem.
Well, and if you're part of the management group, Pierre, that you got together, they did their meetings last week, presumably they finalized some kind of arrangements for how they want to go after the trade deadline. I mean, it's time to start thinking about the future and not necessarily the here and now. And you wonder what kind of approach they're going to take over the next 3 weeks. Like, does anything that's going to happen on the ice over the next 3 weeks, that shouldn't affect anything with regards to how they approach the trade deadline, right?
No, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. They've got to find a way to start stockpiling young players. To attract free agents to Montreal is not easy because of taxation issues and other issues. It's just not easy. It's not. It's a reality. You can get guys, but you're not going to get all of them. So you got to start to realize you need to be like the Expos. You need to draft better. You need to cultivate better. You need to develop better. You need to do things the Montreal Canadiens way. Mitch Melnyk, tell everybody how great the Expos were in terms of drafting, cultivating, and being competitive because of that.
Well, when it was obvious, it started with Reggie Jackson deciding to sign with the Yankees instead of the Expos, even though the Charles Bronson offered more money and wooed him. And, of course, they won the World Series with Reggie, Mr. October. And this was happening a lot with high-profile free agents. So Charles Bronson had a meeting with everybody in the organization. He gave all of his scouts immediate, across-the-board, healthy raises, not just the scouting directors, every scout in the system, and said, we are going to build from the ground up. We are going to be the model organization. And that is how the team of the 80s was born. They developed more quality players than any organization in baseball.
And this is what the Montreal Canadiens have to do. They have lost their way. This is a reality check. You know what? If you don't believe me, go look on the tape and look at after the Berglund goal and watch the eyes of Carey Price after that goal goes in. He knows what I know. We don't have anybody like Tage Thompson coming through our organization. He knows. Look at his eyes after that goal. That's the first thing I looked for. And I don't know who produced the game, but whomever did, they got it right because that was the money shot.
Which is why the next person coming in, if there is ever someone else coming in, or what the people in charge now have to do, is ask, I want to know, as a fan, if I'm a fan, I want to know what happened with Jared Tinordi, what happened with Nathan Beaulieu, what happened with Mike McCarron, what happened with Sebastian Kolberg? What happened with Dalton Thrower? What happened with Zach Fucali?
Okay, wait a minute.
And those
okay,
are all
on,
first and second round picks.
Yeah, but you're getting a lot of teams. Some of those are draft years that were bad years. And Sebastian Kolberg, I mean, it's just...
But he's a second round pick.
Yeah, I know, but they made a good move. They got Vanek, mm-hmm. and they gave him up. They got Vanek. They made a good move there.
But
you got to give credit for that one.
But even that player didn't pan out, though, anywhere.
Yeah, but every organization is going to make mistakes. Every organization.
Of course.
To limit those mistakes.
But that's why I gave you a list of like seven, eight guys. McCarron, where's McCarron right now? That was another first round.
Bring him
pick.
Up, Pierre. If they're running out of time and patience with Michael McCarron and they still don't know at this point, would you look where they are? Would you not bring him up and say, okay, let's give it one more shot here before we cut him loose?
The answer is yes. And I'm going to say one other thing that probably won't endear me to the major junior guys, even though I love them, and I think their programs are really appropriate for certain players and for a lot of players. But two players that Mitch Gallo just brought up, one of them's Jared Tenorti, should have gone to Notre Dame and didn't, went and played major junior. He wasn't ready for that. He needed to really be coached up. And the other one was Michael McCarron, should have gone to Western Michigan to play for Andy Murray. He didn't. He went and played major junior. Both those players needed developmental time before they even thought about turning pro. And I don't know how it happened, but it happened that they didn't.
And by the way, that's not Monday morning quarterbacking. As someone who's, we've spent a lot of time on the air together. As soon as Michael McCarron, we had Andy Murray on the air. He expressed disappointment in that decision, and as did Pierre. And that was whenever, how many years ago that was with Michael McCarron?
I was, you're being so nice to me because I wasn't happy. I was really upset about that. I was like, whoa, this is one guy that needs to go play for a professional coach that understands how to cultivate NHL potential players. He needs to be in the weight room because if he's going to be anything, he's going to be a third line, shut down, power forward, who's going to win faceoffs, body slam people, and really build his game that way. That's how he's going to have to do it. Instead, he didn't do that, and now you have what you have.
Gallagher comes in and slams it. Then he steps on the puck, backhanded from in tight by Galchenyuk. And they continue to push around, but it's kept out by Carter Hutton. And we've got some pushing and shoving in the Blues crease. Gallagher has the helmet knocked off, and Gallagher jawing at one of the Blues players. That's Brodziak, and he's still giving him an earful. Then Bortuzzo had a word for number 11, White, who never gives up.
Pierre, those two names that Dan Robertson mentioned, they're a lot bigger than Brendan Gallagher. Do you think if Brendan Gallagher was on the ice when Paul Byron was motionless on the ice, crumpled in the corner like that he just would have skated away?
No.
Okay.
You know what? It takes me back to when Gallagher got hit. I think it was against the Winnipeg Jets a couple seasons ago, if I remember correctly. And he went right back after the guy. And he ended up being hurt for a while, but that's how Brendan is. You can't teach that stuff, Mitch. You ask Sergio Momesso, you can't teach that stuff to it. You ask Chris
Thomas. heard Sergio's reaction on that play immediately.
Yeah,
no,
he's a player.
No
he's
hesitation.
He's a player that played that way. Yeah, he got it.
And
he
Byron, you know, you feel for the guy. The guy gives you everything he has. He's so skinny compared to NHL players today. And you know, the look that he gave, I guess he was looking at Parenko, glaring at him as he left the ice with his shoulder slumped. We don't have an update on in that regard, do we?
On Byron?
On Byron.
On Byron, he took a therapy day, and he's not ruled out for tomorrow just yet.
So I'm just wondering, you know, it just says so much. You know, Gallagher, Byron, Hudon, you know, starting to put the puck in the net. He's gutsy little guy. Is that it?
Yeah. Shaw's not big either, you know.
No, it's...
and he's probably their most courageous guy.
So what do you do if you're the coaching staff, you're Claude Julia, you're Kirk Muller, you're J.J. Daniel, whatever, and, you know, you stress more opportunities between the dots, as he said last night. It's not, you're not going to score unless you go there. You show video. You stress. You repeat the same thing over and over again, and you still see what we saw last night. I mean, what do you do? Do you scratch one of these guys?
You get really angry in the film room, and then you try to be real positive with the guys. But I think the biggest thing is that there has to be a coming together. There has to be a galvanizing moment for this group, and I don't think they've ever had one this year. I really don't think they have. You know, I look at Ottawa, for instance, last year. What was a galvanizing moment? When Craig Anderson's wife was diagnosed with cancer, and all the guys rallied around Craig, and they rallied around her, and they rallied together as a group. And they fought for each other. They bled for one another. They cried together. They were a team. They came together. You know, I think back to Sergio's really good Vancouver team. Sergio, if you're listening, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I was coaching the league then. They were nasty people. Gino Ogic was a nasty guy. Sergio was a nasty guy. Trevor Linden wasn't exactly peaches and cream. They had some nasty people on that team, and you didn't mess around in Vancouver. I can tell you that right now. You go out there to play, you didn't mess around. Dana Merzen was there. You better be ready to buckle it up. So I can talk about Knuckles and the teams he played on. Guys have to be together. If you're not together, that kind of stuff's going to happen like what you saw last night.
Well, yeah, and instead we're getting a group of players that are, frankly, going through the motions three times a week.
This goes back to what we spoke of at the beginning of the year when you could detect it. This team definitely knew it wasn't good enough. They knew. They knew.
The answer was not in the room.
No, it wasn't in the room. They know it. You can't BS players. They're on the ice and practicing with guys. They play in the games. They know the guys who can elevate and who can't. And then once you see that, oh, man, we don't have much here, and then you start to look at all the bodies that are gone, especially Radulov and Markov, even Bolya, you say, oh, those are three NHL bodies out of our lineup. Uh-oh, this isn't good. You know, and another guy we never even talked about, Greg Pattern. Greg Pattern's playing regular down in Dallas. There's another one. I mean, holy mackerel. Guys start to look and say, we don't have guys to replace those guys.
Kane is hit hard, but it's carried on by Schmaltz. That was a big hit by Salamaki. Here's a shot, and the score! Hit Estrosa, who snapped one home in Detroit, and the next game he plays, he scores in Nashville, and the Hawks on a goal from Hit Estrosa have the lead.
All right, that was on the ice. The real story in Nashville is Mike Fisher coming out of retirement just in time for the playoff stretch. What do you think of this?
I think it's awesome. I'm so happy, and I'll tell you why. Mike Fisher was drafted in 1998. He was a second-round pick out of the Sudbury Wolves organization. He never complained. He came from a very successful family in Peterborough, Ontario. He was drafted by Sudbury. He could have complained and said, I want to stay in Peterborough, but he didn't. He went to Sudbury. Very good player there. Turned pro as a very young guy with Ottawa. Went through trials and tribulations. I think Jacques Martin did amazing work with him. And Mike went to the final, and the late Brian Murray did as well, created a great role for him. Goes to the final in 07. They lose in five games to Anaheim. And then goes to the final last year. They lose in six games to Pittsburgh. I think he's looking at that roster and he's saying, I've been close twice. I think that this team's got a legit chance to win. I know where I fit. He fits in the three hole. The first hole is Ryan Johansson. The second hole is Kyle Turris. The third hole is Nick Bonino. The fourth hole is Mike Fisher. Then you got Bonino and Fisher killing penalties. That's your top tandem. So then you're taking pressure off Johansson. You're taking pressure off of Turris. They can go out and score. And I think this is great. I'm so happy for Michael. I sent him a long note last year when I found out he wasn't coming back to play. I'm going to send him another note now saying you're back. Can't wait to do one of your games. I think the world of him. Think the world of the guy.
I wonder if we'll see more of this. It was kind of a Roger Clemens move that he made years ago with the Yankees.
Know.
You know, I don't want to go to training camp. I don't want to play in October
or
November.
I think he was that, though. Mitch, you know what? I think he was really sincere on that.
No,
really
I'm not. I don't blame him for it. But if you were part of Nashville last year, you knew how good they were going to be this year. This couldn't have been a sudden revelation.
But no, let me just throw something at you. If you were part of Ottawa, did you know how good you were going to be this year?
You mean how bad?
You know what I'm talking about, Smarty Pants.
All right, I want to finish here. Three games tonight. The Leafs are hosting the Islanders. The Leafs appear to be poised for some kind of significant acquisition by the trade deadline. Here's their coach, somebody you know.
You don't do it by talking. You do it by playing. And you play well, and the better you play, and the more you look like you got a chance, the more your opportunity you have for your general manager to help you.
So, in other words...
She's right on. You want to send the message, we're good, we're getting better, we're peaking at the right time, so just give us a little bit of a lifeline. Just give us one more guy, because we got a chance to win this thing if you do. You got to prove it. I'll remember, clear as day, sitting around when we made the big deal in 91 for Francis, Jennings, and Samuelson. And I remember the late Badger Bob Johnson saying, we got a legit chance to win now. We got a legit chance to win.